It is time for another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. It is Thanksgiving week, one of my favorite weeks of the year because there's a lot of food, there's a lot of sleeping, there's a lot of doing a whole lot of nothing. And it's fan. It's, I would say, a top three sports week of the year. You have college basketball throughout the day with all these holiday tourneys. You have football all day on Thursday, and then all weekend, really. So, one of my favorite weeks of the year. How are you doing tonight, T-Dog?
Doing pretty good, J-Man. Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. Thanksgiving, food, family, fired football, up. College basketball, a lot going on. Can't complain. Well, I brought some birdie or bogey with me this evening. Let me get the banner up here. And
can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
The stupid mic. I bumped it and it likes to mute me when I do that.
It's all good. So birdie or bogey. I got the wrong bumper up there. There we go. You know, only 419 of these episodes. You think we'd have this down to a science now, but we don't. Birdie or bogey, you were talking about Thanksgiving. So I brought some NFL Thanksgiving related trivia.
All right. With me.
So you're either going to get a birdie or a bogey. It's a one-part answer. Well, there's one team in the NFL who's never played on Thanksgiving. Name me that team.
Oh, man. 32 chances. Or 32 teams I got to pick from. Obviously, throws the Cowboys, Lions off the list. But,
right.
That's a good question. I have no idea. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Over the weekend, they had apple bacon. That was last weekend. I see the date there. So they obviously have not put a newer special up. But 2 weekends ago, they had apple bacon scallops as their special for the weekend. So they have incredible specials all weekend long.
Yep, I know we say it quite often here on the podcast, but you really can't go wrong with anything on their menu. Mm-hmm. So you won't be disappointed with whatever you get. So if you're in the northern Indiana area, go down to Rochester, Indiana. Go up to Rochester, Indiana, over to Rochester, Indiana, wherever you live, whatever direction, and give Arlington Public House a try.
Yeah, fantastic.
Do you have some pick six for me?
I do.
I thought we'd do that right away since we did not get that last week. So
I have some pick six. In the recent news of Daniel Jones getting released, he was benched and then released just a few days later. The Giants organization's a mess, for one. They had him playing scout team safety. Their team was like, we want Daniel Jones to start pretty much. So that got me thinking the 2019 quarterback class was brutal. Very bad. Starting with Daniel Jones.
Yeah. You know, the Giants jumped the gun when they gave him the contract. Understand why they did it at the time. You know, everybody's trying to nail down quarterbacks, and really now a few years later, you look at his contract, it's not near that awful financially as a lot of these other quarterback contracts mm-hmm. have been, but I think he's a nice backup. Mm-hmm. He's not an NFL starter. I think he could be a good backup for some teams. We'll see where he lands this week. It'll be interesting. But, you know, he was solid at Duke, but I never thought maybe he was – I didn't think he was really top 10 pick worthy, even though if I believe correctly in my mock draft that year, I nailed him at 6 to the Giants.
Was that the year you made, like, 10 straight picks or something like that?
I don't recall if that was the year or not. I think he'll be a good backup for somebody, mm-hmm. but he's just, I said Danny again. Tommy DeVito is not the answer either in New York.
No.
And neither is Drew Locke. So they will be drafting somebody.
Definitely. And I think they'll end up with probably a top 2 or 3 pick. And maybe the reasoning for starting DeVito is we want that number one pick to take whoever is there. I don't think it's a great quarterback class though on the surface right now, but going back to Daniel Jones, though, I never really saw it. He obviously has tantalizing tools. And I think, honestly, getting coached by David Cutcliffe kind of rose him up the draft board. because he is the quarterback whisperer. I mean, he's the Peyton Manning guy and a couple other dudes. But yeah, he had one solid year, and he played that year into a $100+ million contract. So
I thought it was $72 million. Was it
$100 million? Maybe 72 was
guaranteed. If it's $100 some million, I take back what I said earlier about the financial part. I thought it was 72, so that might be on me.
It might be 72 guaranteed. I want to say the total deal was 100 and some.
Okay.
Which obviously he won't get that now that he was released. But
right.
Number two here, the number one overall pick that year, Kyler Murray.
Actually, Kyler's turned his career around. I thought a year or two ago he was done for in Arizona and gonna be somewhere else, but he's fun to watch. He's one quarterback, you know, I'll tune in to watch him play because he runs around and he can make plays with his legs, and as a fellow short guy, I like watching short quarterbacks go up there and have success. And he's got the Cardinals right in the playoff mix. That NFC West is crazy right now, that division. So I think he's the guy there in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I don't see him going anywhere for quite some time.
Drew Lock.
He's got a lot of swag. Just has not turned out right. I thought he was the Broncos guy at the end of the 2019 season. He kind of got hot there when he got given a chance after Joe Flacco and a slew of other guys were thrown out there first for him. Yeah, Flacco. And then I was at the last start he ever made as a Bronco against the Colts because he got smashed on the last play of the game and he was done for the season with a neck injury. And then Lock wasn't healthy, so they threw out some other guys, Brandon Allen and Brett Rippon and Jeff Driscoll and some other guys. And then the 2020 season was supposed to be his, and he just didn't play very well. And they brought Bridgewater in 2021, and he just, you know, and then he was part of the Russell Wilson trade. So, once again, I think he can be a solid backup in the league. And the Giants are paying him like $5 million right now.
Yeah, it's clearly a we want to tank sort of deal, having DeVito jump Lock, because Lock's been QB2 all season. So,
and he was pretty mad, I think, in his comments last week about, like, I was told I was coming in here QB2 and he gets jumped by QB3. But very swaggy and actually seems like a pretty nice guy. I know I was a little nervous when the Broncos drafted him because I thought he was pretty cocky at Missouri. Mm-hmm. But he's been humbled, I think, by the NFL pretty quickly.
Will Greer.
That's a name I haven't thought about in a long time. I can't even tell you if he's done anything in the pros. I think about his college days right away, and he played for like five schools.
Yeah.
So is he still in the league?
All of these guys are still active. So I don't know if he's a practice squad guy. Only six of these quarterbacks are. I think there was one other quarterback. I can't remember who it was that's still active, but the rest are no longer in the league at all.
Yeah, Will Greer was at Florida. He was at West Virginia.
Did he end his career at West Virginia?
I think he did. I think he did. So, yeah, I don't have much else on him except that.
Jarrett Stidham, Broncos legend.
he's their backup right now. He had a chance to be the starter, but Bo Nix beat him out pretty quickly in the preseason and training camp. But fine backup, expensive backup. Mm-hmm. Broncos, I think, are paying him. I think it was a $10 million backup for 2 years. I doubt he'll be there next year. He'll probably be elsewhere. He and Zach Wilson both. But I saw him put on a show at the Music City Bowl back in 2018. My gosh, they could have put up 100 if they wanted to.
I was just about to bring that up because I've seen a lot of bowl projections. Majority of bowl projections have the University of Illinois playing in the Citrus Bowl against Alabama. And that reminds me a little bit of that game because going in, you're like, man, I think Auburn will be just mad that they're in this game and they won't care. And they end up putting up 80 points. I think that would happen against
It was four plays into the game. And good buddy of the show, Evan Webb, and I look at you, we're like, yeah, we can't keep up with these guys. Yeah, this speed is just stupid. Speed is just stupid. So,
last one here, Gardner Minshew. Season ended yesterday.
Yeah, broke his collarbone. Nasty fall. That's what I thought he did. He was grabbing right away. And I got to be careful. My dog's up here in the room because yesterday when my wife and I were watching the game and she goes, what do you think happened to him? I said, I think it's his collarbone. And I said it a couple times, just her and I talking. And my dog heard the end of that word and started doing this. Yeah. Head tilting. And then I had to go give him a T-R-E-A-T. I'm spelling that because, once again, that's a target word.
Yeah.
So
I can't believe dogs haven't learned how to spell yet, honestly.
I'm waiting for it. We're all in trouble when they do.
Yeah.
So, but no, Mitch Hughes, once again, another good backup. Mm-hmm. He's not a starter in this league. He's had plenty of chances. I mean, he started in Jacksonville, started in Indianapolis, started now in Vegas. Good backup can come in tough spots and help you win some games, but he's not a guy you can rely on to take it to the playoffs. So
that's another team. That's another team. Assuming they're going to start Desmond Ridder the rest of the year. I don't know how long O'Connell's out.
He got back today. He's off injured reserve today. But I still, that team is so bad around him. Yeah. They play better at home, of course, than they do on the road, but they're gonna be looking for a quarterback.
Yeah, so. Raiders have Shedeur Sanders written all over it.
And he likes a lot of their tweets and stuff. So
he, every single time they lose, he says like "Thank God" or something like that. Yep. Or praise the Lord. So. he has silver and black written all over him.
I'd entertain it for somebody who hates the Raiders.
And
hit him twice a year, unless he turns out to be really good. Then it's like, great, Mahomes, Sanders, and Herbert twice a year, every year.
Hey, Bo Nix has looked awfully good.
He has. I think he might be closing in on Jaden Daniels if he hasn't passed him for Offensive Rookie of the Year. So
1,000% agree.
Yeah.
That will do it for a pick six this week.
Yeah, that's a fun pick six list. I thought you might go a Thanksgiving route, but I'm glad you didn't.
I've done that in the past.
You have.
So.
Yeah. You have. So. And that is the Pick 6 segment, which is brought to you by this week, like it is every week, Performa Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting coming up in 2025, Performa Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
You want to talk some college hoops?
Yeah, I would love to talk some college hoops. Both of our teams took L's last week, but I don't think it's anything neither of us need to be worried about.
No.
Your team lost to Alabama in a neutral game that was practically a home game for Alabama down in Birmingham. And my team lost a true road game up in Milwaukee against Marquette, who is a I didn't see where they landed in the rankings. Anybody presume they're a top 10 team now?
Probably.
But I think it's two L's that both of the teams can learn a lot going forward.
Yeah, and both pretty inexperienced teams. I know Purdue still has Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, but for the most part, very inexperienced.
Trey Coffin too, but besides those three,
and TKR.
Yeah.
So going on the road this early in the season, who cares what the final score is? Honestly, I'm sure you saw some good things and you saw some bad things. I didn't watch any of that game.
It was mostly bad. They were lucky to be down by 7.5.
Okay.
They kept it decently close till about the last 8 minutes. Marquette really pulled away. But Marquette's, Shaka's a smart team. And what I respect about them, he runs his program a lot like Matt Painter, to where he doesn't use the portal much. He's got these experienced dudes that have grown up in the program, got better and better. They're aggressive. They're fast. They're physical. And they made Purdue turn it over 18 or 19 times. Yeah. I don't believe what it was. To whereas against Alabama, Purdue turned the ball over 3 times. They tied for a program low all time. Yeah. So that was the difference. Purdue really wasn't shooting well and turned the ball over a bunch. And Marquette was getting to the rim and finishing at the rim, whereas Alabama would get to the rim and then try to kick it out for 3. So, so I wasn't too discouraged. And then Purdue bounced back, beat a pretty bad Marshall team Saturday in Mackey Arena. I was at that game. It was one of the more boring games I've ever been to, just because there were so many fouls. The game took forever. There was no flow to the game. And Marshall shot 30 or 31 for 3.
That's bad.
Just awful. Just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So
Marshall's had some good years in the past too.
They have.
When D'Antoni's brother was there, they were pretty good.
Yep.
That Purdue loss to Marquette kind of reminds me on the surface of 3 years ago when Illinois went there and they end up losing by 1, but they turned it over 26 times I think Curbelo had 8 or 9 himself. And they ended up losing by 1 and they were up 10 with like 4 minutes left.
That's frustrating.
The Illinois loss to Bama, good things, bad things, low expectations going in. I hated that they were coming in off a loss too. But They did it without their best player, Mark Sears, even scoring a single point. Alabama did.
Second time that's happened this year.
That's crazy. Because, yeah, he was, you know, preseason first team All-American, considered one of the best point guards in the league or in the country. Still, they got down 16-17 and just fought back and would cut it to 7 or 8, and then they just couldn't get enough stops. And I'm sure Underwood was very glad that Alabama was able to hit that century mark to kind of put on the bulletin board. This was pathetic effort defensively. And then they bounced back against a miserably, miserably bad Maryland Eastern Shore team who scored 40 points the entire game. They were
getting that check, man. They're getting that check.
I want to say they were the worst team I've seen Illinois play outside of like a – they might have been worse than Chicago State. Chicago State might have been able to get them. They were so bad. It was almost a record low points given up in the Underwood era. That is 37, and believe it or not, that was Purdue.
I remember that game. Remember very well.
That was real bad back in – that was 2020, the start of the 2020 before COVID hit, right before COVID hit, I remember. Big week this week for both. Purdue's in a – they're in a tourney, right?
Yeah, they're out in San Diego. It's 3 o'clock on Thanksgiving on Fox Sports 1. They Final Four matchup. They play NC State. And then the following day, they're either going to get BYU, which there would be some storylines there with Cannon Catchings out there. That was a Purdue commitment until he got to campus and then switched. And he's playing really well for BYU, and he's projected first-round pick right now in the NBA draft. So they'll either face him or they'll face Chris Beard in Ole Miss. So.
Oh, yeah. Either way, it's kind of interesting. Yep. BYU's fascinating. They're a lot like Alabama with their ability to score the ball. They also have a 6'9" point guard, Igor Demon, who is ridiculous and projected first-round pick as well. Elsewhere around the Big Ten, Illinois plays Little Rock tonight, and they haven't played since 2005. And the amount of times I've made fun of you for Purdue losing to Little Rock.
Yeah, I was going to say, I still have PTSD when that name scared. Comes out.
I'm scared that they're going to get.
Oh, it's at home, though. It's not neutral court or anything.
It's going to. They haven't been epitome of brutality since. Since 2018. When they lost to Florida Atlantic, like 8,000 people there, it was snowing, and somehow Kofi Coburn, who was at the game, committed the next day, so it wasn't all bad that weekend. But they lost to Florida Atlantic, play Arkansas.
How those losses stick with you
so much more than the wins. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, 2018-2019 season. That's kind of when they started turning it around, late January. But yeah, lose to Florida Atlantic at home in overtime, and it's just. It was right after Christmas, and I'm just sitting there like, I grew up with this team, you know, going to the Final Four, going to the tourney every year, and now we're losing to Florida Atlantic at home.
Been there.
It was a brutal feeling, but
this wasn't the Final Four Florida Atlantic team.
No,
or
this was the Florida Atlantic team that I'm pretty sure finished under 500 that year. it was brutally bad, but the losses stick so much. More than the wins.
I sure do. I was thinking the other day about Purdue losing a game in the 07-08 year to Wofford.
I remember that.
Just randomly remember that game. Like they beat Louisville, a top 10 Louisville team in Indianapolis, and come home and lose to Wofford.
I heard Hummel talking about that the other day. They were so young and they lose to Wofford. And then didn't they lose to Gardner Webb as well?
No, they went out to Vegas and they lost to Missouri State and Iowa State, I believe.
Or was it Northern?
And then they got hot. But they lost to Gardner Webb and North Florida the 14-15 year. Because it looked like Gainer was in trouble. And then that was the Vince Edwards, Isaac Costico, Matthias, P.J. Thompson freshman year. And then they got hot. So
if freshman LaRon Black doesn't put up 15 rebounds against them in Champaign when Illinois killed them, they might not turn that season around. Because I remember Painter saying that was kind of the turning point for the team. So you can thank old Boogie Black. Elsewhere,
I saw a former Illinois player playing for Memphis today.
Yeah, old Danger Time, Dane Danger, the mid-major slayer. He had a pretty good game today, though, against a high-major opponent. But
beat him. They beat
him. Yeah, UConn lost, and Dan Hurley after the game blamed the officials completely.
He's such a jerk for a good basketball coach. He's such a jerk.
Yeah, he'd been begging for a technical the entire game, and they finally gave it to him when it was a tie game with 40 seconds left in OT. So it was pretty funny. But he said, so the call that he got mad about was Liam McNeely got called for an over the back in a tie game with 40 seconds left, and he pretty much said the Memphis guy gave a half effort and our guy went and got the rebound because he was playing harder and they bailed Memphis out essentially. And he said, my technical didn't lose us the game. The blanky officiating did. So I'm sure he'll get a hefty fine from somebody. Yeah. Whoever's in charge of that anymore. No one knows who's in charge of anything. So it wasn't a Big East game. So I don't know if Big East can fine him. Can they? I don't know. The NCAA is worthless. So,
but, yeah, I got no answers there.
Yeah.
Elsewhere around the Big Ten, I haven't watched much, but I know you have. I know Rutgers lost over the weekend.
Yeah, lost at Kennesaw State, which is a lose-lose. I mean, it's not a lose-lose.
You're just asking to lose.
Yeah, you win. Who cares? At best, that's a quad three road win, maybe even a quad four. But you lose, and it's a disaster. It can keep you out of the NCAA tourney. They got down 16 at halftime, and they fought back, and got it within two. And Ace Bailey threw it away with no time left, essentially. And they lost at Kennesaw State. And, of course, when you're playing at a school like that, I mean, you remember when Purdue played at Valpo. They just packed that place out.
I was so scared.
Yeah.
Illinois at Grand Canyon.
I forgot about that. I remember afterward – Brad Underwood, who coached, you know, at Kansas State for years as an assistant, said it was as loud as Allen Fieldhouse at Grand Canyon.
I remember you came over to my house and watched that game. You guys controlled the game, but you were so nervous.
I was so nervous. And it was rocking. And it's a lose-lose situation there. But Indiana plays Louisville tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah, and Atlantis. And then I looked up the other day who else is in that. Gonzaga's in it. There's some decent teams, but no, like, besides Gonzaga, no heavy hitters. Maybe Arizona, though. Arizona might be in it.
Louisville's, let me look it up. Which Arizona's looked terrible. They got blown out, gave up 100 points to Wisconsin. Then they got blown out by Duke over the weekend as well.
Wisconsin is ranked.
Wisconsin looks good. They beat Pitt yesterday.
15th now.
Yeah, they've looked good so far. But
on the men's, you got Arizona, you got Davidson, Gonzaga, Indiana, Louisville, Oklahoma, Providence, and West Virginia. So I would say, Indiana's
probably second best team.
Indiana,
in there,
Gonzaga's probably favorite to win, followed by Indiana. Probably Indiana's women's are there too. Interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, I think Gonzaga's look like the best team in the country so far. It's early, but that what they did to Baylor game one, beat them by almost 50 points. Yep. Baylor's gotten taken to the woodshed a couple times so far. Which credit to Scott Drew for scheduling those games. I'm sure you don't want to get blown out, but. We talked about that last week, but Michigan State's in the Maui. They play Virginia Tech tonight. Virginia Tech's bad. They had a bad home loss to somebody.
Their sports are just bad anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. The football team used to be like national title contenders, and now they're scratching and clawing to get 6 wins every year now. I don't know how they turn that thing around. You got to hire the right coach, obviously. But,
Yep. So this is the time of year I really start digging into college basketball deeper because college football is wrapping up, or at least the regular season. And the games start getting really good this time of year with Thanksgiving. And then now in the Big Ten, at least you got conference games coming up here in a weekend. I know this isn't Big Ten.
Who's Purdue's conference games in December?
It's Penn State and – oh, gosh. Who's the other one? Is it Maryland? I think it's Maryland.
Is it?
Okay. Yes, it is Maryland at home. At Penn State and Maryland at home. Yep.
Illinois starts at Northwestern. I wish this game was in, like, mid-January, but that just makes me nervous that it's game one because Northwestern's look like garbage so far, but they won't. And then they play Wisconsin at home, which, again,
that's not the easiest, too.
I'd probably prefer to play Wisconsin in mid-January or February and they wake up because I don't think they're this good. They're getting incredible contributions from John Tanji, who's averaging 23 points a game. He's a transfer, played seven games or so at Missouri last year, averaged 8 points a game at a, I think it was 14 points a game at like a mid-major the year before. And he's just, he put up 40 a few weeks ago, last week, I think. So I don't believe in Wisconsin. Never have, honestly, since Bo's not been there. But
and one thing I wanted to mention, Marquette's win did snap Purdue's long non-conference win streak, but also it was the first loss. Well, of course, besides the national championship game, which this doesn't happen there, but it was the first loss Purdue's had in like 4 years, going on 4 years, where they haven't got court stormed.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Kind of nice. It's kind of different, kind of nice. So.
Yeah, well, when you're ranked in the top 10, you get court stormed.
Yeah, I know. And this isn't Big Ten related, but did you see Notre Dame's loss Friday night?
It was to a bad team. I don't know how they lost.
Elon at home. It was the Elon. They lost by 13.
Year two of Shrewsbury, and they were supposed to be better, and they probably are better than last year because they were one of the worst high majors last year. But I wonder if it's one of those, man, I wish I would have stayed at Penn State sort of deals so far.
He did sign the highest ranked recruiting class in Notre Dame, the modern era. But I think he's a good coach, but it's like, oh, I can't have too many of those.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, year two, you probably have a little bit more grace, but, you know, losing a bye game, you know what they say.
I don't even know what's Elon's their nickname?
They've had some good years. I want to say it's a weird nickname.
Let's see here. It's in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It is, come on. Oh, Phoenix. Elon Phoenix.
That's interesting. It's a bird.
Yep. In a city, but it's a bird in this case.
Yeah. In a city.
Yeah. But any more thoughts on the hardwood?
No thoughts. Yep.
And I got nothing NBA. I haven't watched a single second.
No, me either. I don't know. I think I saw standings today on Twitter, and I think Golden State's winning the West. They haven't been good in a few years, but they're winning the West.
Tell anybody's record, nothing. I check Jaden Ivey and Zach Edey box score from time to time. That's about all I do.
Yeah, that's all I do with Io DeSumo. Terrence Shannon got sent to the G League, and he put up 34 and 38, and they called him immediately back up.
Oh yeah.
But he's not getting minutes. I mean, it's a tough team to get minutes on. But yeah,
sure is.
Other than that, though, I haven't followed anything.
Years. I'm just waiting for the Sox come back. So
yeah.
I want to talk some college football.
Let's do it.
It's rivalry week this week. It's the last full week of the regular season. We'll have conference championship games coming up. We'll have Army-Navy coming up, which should be a good one. But it is the last week of the regular season, so it's rivalry week for most teams. Some teams don't have rivalry games. But I was going to come up with a list of, like, name the matchup based on the trophy, but I didn't do it.
I'd be terrible at it, so I'm very glad you did.
Or like, name the game, because some of them have, like, a name to it, you know. But is it an interesting slate of games? But what were your big takeaways from this week? This week got kind of crazy as far as the college football playoffs.
Definitely did. You know, Indiana, you needed them to show, you know, that they could hang, and they really didn't. But then they were helped significantly by the SEC's implosion with A&M losing and Bama losing. Ole Miss losing, yeah. So it kind of balanced it out a little bit. And if they put a three-loss Alabama in, that's pathetic because their losses aren't good. They don't have great wins either. I know they beat Georgia. They beat Georgia, right?
Yeah, Alabama beat Georgia. They were killing them, and then Georgia came back and then threw a pick in the end zone.
Yeah. A mediocre Vandy team and a mediocre Oklahoma team. And then Texas, I believe. Yeah, Texas. Texas? I don't follow the SEC football.
No, they only lost three games.
Yeah, Oklahoma, Vandy and Texas.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Or Georgia, I don't
Tennessee.
Know.
Tennessee.
Tennessee, that's right.
It's like they didn't play Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew it started with a T though. but other than that, I didn't really follow a whole lot. Purdue made it close on Friday.
They showed a fight in second half, being down 24-3. They could have just rolled over. Like I told you, I mean, still wasn't a win, so it doesn't matter. But like I said, their last six games, they've played three teams in top four and got annihilated. Mm-hmm. The other three teams, which one of them is ranked in Illinois, it's been two overtime losses and another loss by 7 points.
Yeah.
So they seem to hang in there when the competition level's more even. But, man, they should have tied the game late. Jamal Edgerton
yeah.
Burned a guy by 20 yards and just flat dropped. And that's the season and the team in a nutshell. They are not good to start off, and then they just can't get out of their own way. They just make mistakes, and they're I think the line's up to 29.5 against Indiana. I think it opened up at 25.5. I don't recall a line in that series being bigger, at least when Purdue's been an underdog. I don't know what lines looked like in the late 80s and early 90s when Purdue was pretty bad and Indiana was pretty good. But it's the biggest underdog line that I can remember at least. So
there's a couple good Big Ten games. The Illinois Rutgers game, you probably didn't tune into any of that. I watched the majority
of it. Saw the highlights.
It was a 34-mile-an-hour wind gust, and Illinois gets it as be a 58-yard field goal. This kicker had made from 59 earlier. He's their long kicker in a sense. They have their accurate kicker who's, like, really good, 16 for 19, and then they have their long kicker who's 1 for 1 with a 59-yarder. It's kind of weird how they do that.
Purdue's just looking for a kicker. So, I mean, if they want to chip one over, you know.
So they bring this guy out. They're down one with, I think it was 14 seconds left. And stupidly, Schiano iced him, but he still got the kick away. The ball landed at the goal line. It landed at the goal line. So Bielema saw, there's no shot he's making this. So we're going to bring the offense out. And Altmaier was able to find Pat Bryant, who was able to catch it. And I think a lot of Illinois fans were like, get down, spike it, kick a field goal. And he's just like, nope. And he goes and scores a touchdown. And then the second game that was great was Minnesota Penn State, where James Franklin kind of showed a little bit of moxie with a fake punt up one with about 3.5 or 4 minutes left. He hasn't been a guy that's been super aggressive like that either. And honestly, it might have clinched themselves a spot in the playoff.
Yep. So, yeah, Tyler Warren's a beast.
Oh, he's good.
Just give him the ball when you need it in crunch time. He'll find a way to do it. And you're lucky you took your win quota for Illinois up. But they still could get 10, J-Man, with the bowl. They could get 10.
Yeah. Yeah,
They're having a solid year. Oh,
for sure. Yeah. I think a lot of people thought they'd go like 6-6. I think I had them 6-6. You had them 5-7. Yeah. I'll still watch them. And I've still watched them and followed them quite a bit. But I can't fully jump back on. But again, I still watch them and I follow them in a sense. But like, I didn't feel a whole lot when they scored. It's just easier not to because once I buy back in, they'll go 3-9. I just know it's gonna happen. So
Notre Dame did what we thought they would. It's Army, just too good. I mean, across the board, Army's a cool story, but yeah,
they couldn't hold a candle. That Northern Illinois loss looks like a long time ago.
If you go look at their schedule, they did have that 7-point win over Louisville home. Mm-hmm. But besides that, they have ran just train wrecked everybody, just killed them.
Yeah, that was a wake-up call, obviously, for the team. But that's happened a few times here in the Freeman era where they needed that wake-up call where they lose to a team like they lost to, it was in Marshall a couple years ago.
Yep, second game of the year.
So they can't get out of their own way in a sense, but I think they're locked unless they get whooped by USC this week, which is not going to happen because USC is bad. But I think they're pretty much locked in as well.
It's interesting that USC game's on CBS at 3:30, so that's 12:30 Pacific time.
Interesting.
You don't see that very often.
No, you know.
Yeah. Well, it came down. It was weird. It's CBS, NBC, and Fox Sports 1 had the 3-game pick between. In Notre Dame, USC, Indiana, Purdue, and Oregon, Washington. I don't know what order was which, but CBS got USC, Notre Dame at 3:30. Fox Sports 1 got Indiana, Purdue at 7, which I don't ever recall a Bucket game starting at night in my lifetime.
Yeah.
3:30, yes, but not at night. Yeah. And then NBC got Oregon and Washington, which I thought NBC would get Notre Dame USC, and CBS would get Washington, Oregon. But
yeah, I don't ever remember Notre. Well, Notre Dame did play on CBS earlier in the year, didn't they? Against Purdue. I don't remember Notre Dame ever playing on CBS, but they have earlier.
They do occasionally on the road. Now they will more often when they play Big Ten teams, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, they've just destroyed pretty much everyone.
And you know, I was talking to my dad earlier today, and he thinks going forward, you know, with all this, with the 12-team playoff and with strength of schedule, blah, 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 he thinks to be considered in the playoff, you have to play 10 Power 4 teams.
I like it.
For, like, Power 4 conference. Of course, the smaller conferences can't do that.
But. And the Notre Dame can whine, tradition, tradition, tradition. Look at college football. You have Texas in the SEC now. Oklahoma's in
right.
the USC's in the Big Ten. There's no such thing as tradition anymore in college sports. So you need
get
to
get rid of your
Navy
rivalry. Yeah.
Drop
they
it.
Don't
play somebody. So that's my thoughts on it.
Because, you know, you look at the Big Ten, they play 9 conference games. SEC plays 8. And then a lot of times it's cupcake teams.
I mean, you had Georgia play UMass this week, and Alabama played Mercer last week, and it's just that's embarrassing, honestly. And they always do it in November too. I don't get it. Play in week 1 if you're going to do that.
Right. So you know, and you know, I've always said, like, well, in that case, Purdue wouldn't be able to do what I'd like them to do. But, like, next year, Purdue's non-conference schedule is like Southern Illinois, Ball State, Notre Dame. That's my ideal. You got one. You got one Power 4 team. Well, Notre Dame's not, but you know what I'm saying. You got a mid-major team, and then you got an FCS team. Like, that's ideal. But if they were to do the other way, then you get an FCS team and then 2 Power 4 teams in your non-conference. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because there's way too many times early in the season.
Well, you wouldn't even have to do that with 9 conference games. I'm an idiot. You wouldn't even have to do that. You could still do the – you could do one Power 4 and FCS and mid-major team. Yeah.
What was I going to say? Forget what I was going to say.
Sorry, cut you off because I want to call myself an idiot. So
that's okay. It obviously wasn't important.
Yeah. All right, you want to predict some games for
– Yeah. Last week of Pick'em is always kind of sad. Hard to believe the season's over already.
I'm sure you smoked me this year. I haven't kept
I haven't followed it, but I've only missed one game combined the past 2 weeks, so I've done pretty good.
We've agreed lately on a lot of games. But 2 Friday games in the Big Ten. This one is Minnesota at Wisconsin. This is the battle for the axe.
Obviously a massive game for Wisconsin as they only have 5 wins to get to a bowl. And I think Fickell would probably be on a fairly hot seat coming into next season.
Wisconsin's a 2-point favorite.
Yeah. Minnesota looked really good there a few weeks ago. And now, you know, they have lost to Rutgers and all that. And I think if Illinois would have beaten Minnesota a few weeks ago and then win this week, I think they'd be in the convo for the playoff, which is hard to believe. But give me Wisconsin for 2.
I'm taking Minnesota for 2. So I just think Minnesota's the better team, and I think Fickell's going to be in the hot seat going into next year.
So.
Nebraska, who's bowl eligible for the first time since 2016, and they rushed the field at Iowa, who's 5.5-point favorites.
Yeah, this whole Dylan Raiola and Pat Mahomes thing is weird with him doing the exact same celebration after a first down or touchdown. Be your own person, man. 20 from now, I think he's going to look back and be embarrassed by all of this sort of his Mahomes impersonation. With that being said, he hasn't faced a defense like Phil Parker's defense there at Iowa, and I think Nebraska will struggle to score a single point. Give me Iowa for 3.
I got Iowa for 4. I'm right there with you. We got the game between Michigan and Ohio State. Michigan at number 2, Ohio State. Ohio State's a 21-point favorite.
Yeah, I have Ohio State for 8.
I have Ohio State for 10.
Yeah.
I think they smack them. I think they're locked in, and Michigan's just Michigan's gonna be 6-6 after this game.
Yeah, we've seen this happen with interim coaches, and I think Sharon Moore will probably be on a hot seat. If they go 6-6 again, I think he's toast.
They won't go there because they won't go to this bowl because they do draw too many fans. But you know that Detroit bowl's like, oh, this is our chance, a chance to get Michigan.
I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan turns it down like teams do at the NIT.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right now so many players don't play in the bowl games, or, yeah, or they're already in the portal. So, number 22, Illinois at Northwestern. This game's at Wrigley Field, correct?
Correct. Yes, I believe okay. So. Give me Illinois for 5.
I got the line at for 7. They're 7.5-point favorites. I'm feeling good about it. Go 9-3.
Last time they played in Wrigley was against Northwestern as well, and Mikel LeShore had over 300 yards rushing, I believe.
There's a name for the past.
Yeah.
Non-conference game, Fresno State at UCLA. UCLA is a 9.5-point favorite.
I think UCLA is at 4 wins, so they cannot make a bowl.
Right, correct.
So UCLA for 4, though. There will be about 19 people in the stands there.
I got UCLA for 1 because I know nothing about Fresno State.
Nothing. I don't think they're very good either this year.
The battle for the Jeweled Shillelagh, number 5, Notre Dame, is 7.5-point favorites at 6-5 USC.
Give me Notre Dame for 6.
I got the Irish for 5. I think they get it done pretty
easily. I am very much hoping they put USC and Oklahoma against each other in a bowl game.
That'd be pretty funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Maryland at number 4, Penn State, who's a 25.5-point favorite.
Give me Penn State for 7.
I got Nittany Lions for 9. So I think they roll pretty easily here. Rutgers at Michigan State. Michigan State is a 1.5-point favorite. Rutgers is already bowl eligible, 6-5. Michigan State needs this win to get bowl eligible.
Give me Rutgers for 1.
Thinking Michigan State for 3, but I don't think they're very good. I don't even know if Rutgers is very good. So.
No, I agree.
Washington at number 1, Oregon, who is a 19.5-point favorite.
Give me Oregon for 9.
I got Oregon for 6, so I know what your 10-pointer is. Purdue at number 10, Indiana, who is a, like I said, 29.5-point favorite.
I'll be honest. I think Purdue's been my highest pointer here for the past couple weeks.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah, give me Indiana for 10. I don't think they cover, though. I think Purdue plays with a little bit of pride this week and keeps it 24 or less.
I hope they would. I mean, if they could come back from 24-3 against Michigan State, make it a game, it's like, okay, you still got some pride in you, and you're playing your rival for a rival, which, you know, rivalry games, crazy things can happen. And, and you get, it's very unlikely, but you got the chance to do the funniest thing ever and ruin your rival's dream season. But with that said, I don't think it happens. I agree with you. I think Purdue will cover, but I got Indiana for 8. I just couldn't put 10 on it.
Yeah.
My heart wouldn't allow it. So yeah. Indiana for 8. Yeah. Elsewhere around the country, let's see the top 25. Oklahoma State, 3-8 at number 16, 8-3 Colorado, who is a 17-point favorite. And Kansas got a dud for us.
Yeah. Kansas started so bad, and they've started to play some good football. Yeah, I think they're right there around bowl eligibility now.
Yep.
Give me Colorado. I think they need to move on from Mike Gundy there at OK State.
The Colorado's lucky this is a noon start at 10 o'clock Mountain Time, because a lot of their other games, because they still could make the Big 12 championship, but a lot has to happen. Their game is before all the rest of those games. Because if they were a later game in the day, I could see their players not caring.
Yeah, yeah.
But with that said, I think they'll get it done. The Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, who's been awful, 2-9, at Ole Miss, who's 8-3, and 26-point favorite.
This is always a very good one. I'll never forget. I think it was DK Metcalf scoring and then hiking his leg like a dog. With that, give me Ole Miss, though. Mississippi State's bad.
Yep. Ole Miss rolls. Georgia Tech at Georgia. Georgia's 19.5-point favorite. This used to be the rivalry of all rivalries in college football one time.
Yeah. Give me Georgia. They lose, they're out, though.
Yep. I'd take Georgia as well. Tennessee, 10.5-point favorite at Vanderbilt.
Little intrastate rivalry there. Give me Tennessee, though.
I'll take Tennessee as well. Here's a good one. South Carolina at Clemson. Clemson's 2.5-point favorite.
Give me Clemson just because they're at home.
I'm taking the Tigers as well. Arizona State, 9.5-point favorites at Arizona, who's 4-7.
Arizona State with one of the most mind-numbingly stupid ways to try to run out the clock I've ever seen any team ever do. They started at first and goal at what, like the 3, and just kept running back. And they ended up getting fourth and goal at the 49 and throwing a Hail Mary when they're up. I think they're up 4 or 5. And turns out there was 1 second left on the clock. Crowd rushes the field. Dillingham gets picked up, on hot mics around the officials, dropping every name in the book. So that's terrible. There's not 1 second left. You just run it a couple times and you score a touchdown. The thing's over anyways. That was one of the most overthought decisions I've ever seen a coach make, and it almost cost him. It didn't, but it almost did.
Yeah, now they're one win away from 10 wins after going 3-9 last year.
Yeah, so. Give me Arizona State. Kenny Dillingham's only a year or two older than us, believe it or not. We're sitting here like idiots.
What a nice one. Yeah. The Iron Bowl, Auburn at Alabama. Alabama's 11.5-point favorite.
Auburn, a multi-overtime win against A&M that pretty much ended A&M's hopes, I think. I mean, A&M might still have a shot, but give me Bama, though. I think they roll. Unless, again, they might be one of those, okay, we have three losses, we're probably not going to make it. It probably depends on, you know, the rankings when they come out, I assume tomorrow, of whether their heart's in it or not. They'll probably still have them in the top 14.
I think Alabama wins.
Yeah.
Get to one more here. Texas at Texas A&M. Texas 6-point favorite. I love seeing these two playing again.
Finally. Give me Texas, though. I think they're legit.
I'm going to take A&M on the road. A&M home. I mean, sorry, Texas on the road. Why not? Why not? Yeah. Something. Why not? Just throw something crazy in there. And that's Texas's toughest game in a while. So
yeah.
That they've had. So
yeah.
We still got to do it on this day real quick. I'll pull it up here. On this day in sports, on November 25th, see what we got. Give me some cricket. Give me some cricket. Give me some cricket. Not seeing a whole lot. Some Grey Cup. Let's say 1951, Cleveland Browns halfback Dub Jones tied the NFL record for most touchdowns in a game with 6. He had 4 rushing, 2 receiving, and a 42-21 win over the Chicago Bears at Cleveland Stadium.
I have to change my coach's name on our CFB 25 to Dub Lasagna, because that's all I do. All I do is win.
Oh, boy. Also, in that game, Cleveland was penalized a record 209 yards. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
On this day, 1961, NBA's Bob Cousy became the second player to score 15,000 career points.
I wonder how many players have done it now. Hundreds.
I'll say 1971, who won the 37th Heisman Trophy Award?
71?
I'll even give you the position and college. Auburn quarterback.
I have no idea.
Pat Sullivan.
Tip of my tongue. Old Sully.
On this day, 1979, Pat Summerall and John Madden broadcast a game together for the first time, a pairing that would last 22 years and become one of the most well-known partnerships in TV sports broadcasting history.
The voices of our childhood right there.
On this day, 1980, Imran Khan scores his first test cricket century, scoring 123 versus the West Indies in Lahore.
Imran, I got his jersey on.
Do they wear jerseys?
They probably call it something weird. Like,
you're supposed to know this.
I know. I've failed.
Let's see here. Do we have anything else good? A lot of cricket actually today, but I'm not gonna read the others. A lot of Grey Cup. Man. On this day in 2019, Ravens second-year quarterback Lamar Jackson became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 3,000 passing yards and rush for 1,500 yards in his first two NFL seasons as the Ravens beat the Rams 45-6.
He's an interesting one. He's got to get that big win eventually. Like, he has to, or his legacy will be tainted. I mean, it took Peyton a while to get his over the hump.
It did.
But, Lamar, can't win the big one is starting to creep up a little bit on him.
And on this day in 2020, Caitlin Clark made her collegiate debut for the Iowa Hawkeyes, scoring 27 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists against Northern Iowa.
She has changed women's basketball in the WNBA. 100%. Yeah.
100%.
Trailblazer.
Yep. And that's on this day segment, which is brought to you by, like as every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. And Thad sent me a design he did last night for a military friend of his, and it's his first full completed sign since his shoulder surgery. He is back in a business full-time going, so get your signed orders in. We are a month away from Christmas, officially a month away.
I have bought something for the first time.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go, J-Man.
I'm on the board.
Improvement from last week.
I'm on the board.
Before Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. But get your signed orders into Thad. He does great work.
I could even tell you what I bought because my wife doesn't watch us because she hates us.
Well, let's not. Just because somehow she will, or yeah, she'll see this segment, or we'll get back to her. We don't want that. NFL, we got nine minutes. Interesting league around the National Football League, like it always is.
That first window of games towards the end of those games with the Bears.
Well, the witching hour was unbelievable.
It was awesome. Yeah, Bears game somehow found a way to go to overtime. Then you had Washington and Dallas. Somehow Washington came back and then shanked the extra point. Houston losing a bad one to Tennessee. It was a fun end of first window there.
Kansas City surviving.
Them too. Yeah, surviving. Carolina,
somehow they found a way to do it.
Yeah, so. Shocker. Three winners, three losers. I usually start with the winners in my first winner, the Green Bay Packers. They look good, and they took it to a very, very good defense yesterday. I know offensively, Niners have struggled, especially now that they started Brandon Allen on yesterday. Jordan Love looks legit. He turned it over a bunch earlier in the season, but it started to calm down a little bit.
Yep. My first winner is Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. Sunday Night Football out in L.A. They took care of business. They look like top three team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, they're good.
Definitely them in Detroit for the NFC. And Saquon Barkley, 255 rushing yards, Eagles record. 49 points, I believe it was, for my fantasy team. So, they've turned it around. Earlier this season, they were struggling, but they're hot right now. I wouldn't want to run into them.
Yeah. My second winner is going to be a player, Baker Mayfield. I love watching the dude play, but he goes and scores and does the Tommy DeVito in New York. He doesn't
give an F, man.
He does not care. They said that security had to rush down to that side because they thought people were going to start climbing onto the field. I love it.
He's so fun to watch. My second winner is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Going into your rival stadium, winning in overtime, returning a kickback, and then an onside kick. Don't see that very often. Yeah. Cooper Rush. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, but big win for them. Big win for them against a team on the opposite side that is starting to slide.
In Cliff Kingsbury fashion, I know he's the OC, but every year when he was at Arizona, start hot and then taper. My last winner, I don't choose him very often. I try to stay away from my favorite teams, but the Miami Dolphins have played some good football here the past.
Don't let them get hot.
Yeah. Since Tua came back, he is completing 76% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, only one turnover. He's playing as good a football as he's played in his entire career. They have scored on all 18 of their red zone drives since he's come back, and they have the highest percentage of drives ending in a score in the NFL since he came back, over 60%. And they took it to a very, very bad New England team that the score, honestly, they won by 19, but I don't even think it was that close. They had some issues with their backup quarterback in an exchange with a running back, which go sign Daniel Jones. I don't think he's good, but he'd be a massive upgrade.
He'd be better than Skylar Thompson.
Feel pretty good about the way they're heading. Unfortunately, they dug themselves a hole, but they're obviously very talented, and their schedule sets up halfway decent, honestly.
My last winner is the Cleveland Browns. Won a Thursday night game in the snow. Against division rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, Jameis getting it done when he really needed to. Made big plays. Jerry Jeudy made big plays. Don't know where that was at in Denver in the past 4 years. But, good win for them. I'm going to chalk it up to the weather almost more than anything, though. But still, good win for them.
Yeah.
First loser for me, I am going to take I don't like doing. No, actually, I'm gonna take the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. I was gonna take a team that on the opposite side already took the winner, but Texans, man, Houston, you got a problem. Something's just not clicking there. CJ Stroud's not playing very good football right now.
I've been saying it since about week four that something seemed off. CJ Stroud went on all this podcast tour in the offseason. Yep. I don't know if that's caught up with him a little bit.
They're going to win that division by default, but I'm not scared of them. Nobody should be scared of them.
No.
Who's your first loser?
Sorry. Pittsburgh Steelers. You look at their schedule, it's rough coming up. I know they're 8-3. But I could see them being a team that starts hot and misses the playoffs. And that's honestly with the way Denver's looking, that's my only hope for the Dolphins is the Steelers tank, which I think they're very capable of because of their schedule. I mean, their easiest games are probably against Cincinnati, and I wouldn't say those are easy.
No, no. My second loser is New York Giants. I didn't expect them to win. But they're a disaster. I mean, Daniel Jones isn't good, but he wasn't your only problem.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's locker room problems. And you let Saquon walk. Look what he's doing for your division rival. It's just a joke.
Is very close to being on pace to breaking the all-time single-season rushing record.
They just let him walk.
Yeah, he's been awesome. We got to hurry through these real quick. Yep. Washington Commanders, as we said, tanking at the wrong time.
Yep. Lastly, Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you got into overtime, but you're getting your own way. You just can't do it right now.
I think a lot of people are like, okay, Caleb Williams has looked good, and Matt Eberflus is definitely getting fired, so we're okay with that. But disaster. 5 in a row for him. Yep. My last loser, Arizona Cardinals. I know it's tough winning in Seattle, but it's a very winnable division. I could even throw the Rams in there, honestly.
Right.
And the Niners could throw up. The whole division stunk yesterday.
Niners are banged up, but yes. It's too late. It's too late for them, I think.
Well,
they're not winning in Buffalo.
That division's weak, and that's their only saving grace, honestly, is the division. So.
Right. Three games on Thanksgiving, starting with the Bears at the Lions.
Lions for 16, best team in football.
I got the Lions for 14. Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. Giants at Cowboys.
Cowboys for 10. Giants are a disaster.
Cowboys for 13.
Yeah.
Dolphins at Packers. Warm team going into the frozen tundra.
This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. We always hear about Dolphins can't play in the cold, and it's true. Tua has played bad in the cold for the most part. He had a really good game in Buffalo 2 years ago, and people are trying to compare this one to playing in 35 below zero.
Yeah,
you can't compare. Wind chill's supposed to be low.
You can't compare a regular season game to a playoff game either.
Yeah. With that being said, they need to buck this trend eventually, and I'm going to keep picking them until they do, honestly. So give me the Dolphins for 1 point. J-Man's book of prediction, we're brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency, Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis Watchering.
And I'm taking the pack for 7.
What's the line on that?
It is, let me get it up
here. I was saying like 4.5, maybe 5.5.
It is, come on, where's the stupid game at? Oh, it's on the wrong week. That's why. 3.
Oh, okay.
Packers by 3. So Lions are 11-point favorites. That's huge for the NFL.
Yeah, it's real big.
Friday, Amazon, Black Friday game. Chiefs are 13.5-point favorites at home against the Raiders.
It has even bigger than the Lions. Give me Chiefs for 15.
I got the Chiefs for 16.
Yeah.
Houston, Texans at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Houston for 8. I think they bounce back. Jags are a disaster, too.
I got Houston for 12. L.A. Chargers at Atlanta Falcons. Tonight's the Harbaugh Bowl. Wish I could watch that before I pick this game. But
yeah. Give me the Chargers for 3. I'm buying what they're selling.
I'm taking the Falcons and a must win for them.
Yes.
For 4.
So. Again, another bad division.
Tennessee Titans at Washington Commanders.
Washington for 13. They should bounce back. It might tank for real if they lose this one.
I got Commanders for 10. Arizona Cardinals at Minnesota Vikings.
Vikings for 6.
Oh, my gosh. J-Man picked the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings for 6 as well. Indianapolis Colts at New England Patriots.
I'm taking the Colts for 2.
I got the Colts for 5. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals.
I have the Bengals for 9. Don't believe in Pittsburgh.
I got the Steelers for two. No. I don't believe in Cincinnati. They got all great talent.
That's fair.
I haven't seen it yet. So Seattle Seahawks at New York Jets.
I have the Jets for four. Who knows if Rodgers is going to play, though?
I got the Seahawks for three. I think the New York teams are just both just dumpster fires right now.
Yeah, they are.
LA Rams at New Orleans Saints.
Rams for seven.
I got the Rams for nine. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Carolina Panthers.
Tampa Bay for 11.
I got Tampa for eight, but that scares me because Carolina's playing better.
Yeah, Bryce Young's looked a lot better.
Yeah, yes. Philadelphia Eagles at Baltimore Ravens. That'll be a good one.
I chose this one before I saw Philadelphia play last night, but Baltimore for five.
I got Baltimore for one. If they don't get it done, they might start sliding a little bit.
Yeah.
San Francisco 49ers at Buffalo Bills.
Bills for 14.
I got the Bills for 15. And Monday night, Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos.
I have the Broncos for 12.
I got the Broncos for 11. So, yeah, looking forward to that game.
Yeah.
Wearing alternate white helmets for that game.
Interesting.
Birdie or bogey, who is the lone NFL team that has never played a game on Thanksgiving Day?
I have no idea. trying to think of teams that haven't been around that long. Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers is a great guess, but you are incorrect, my friend.
Chargers. They've been around for a long time.
Not the Chargers.
I don't know.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ah, man, I should have picked them. That's a good one. I wasn't even thinking them. That's absolutely, obviously, it's the right answer because you gave it to me. But after hearing it, I'm like, yeah, there's no way it would be anyone else. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We stink at trivia, but we will be eating a lot of food this week. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving, everybody. See ya.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.